Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
I'm Brock Martin.
I'm Jay Reyes.
Today we're talking about fatherhood and our role in it as men. This time. Jay, thank you so much for joining us, talking about fatherhood today. Jay is a senior vice president for the Knights of Columbus, which, Jay, you are doing some awesome things in the Knights of Columbus, and I think our guys would first love to hear about some of that, if you don't mind taking just a minute, talking about what your role is and how you've been really working in the Knights of Columbus with the formation and mentorship and really helping kind of revitalize the Knights in a lot of ways. And then tell us a little bit about who you are and your journey.
Okay, so thanks for that setup, Steve and gentlemen. Good to be with you. I think your listeners need to know I know all of you guys, and we've been friends for a long time. So that in case you guys make fun of me, they know it's okay.
That's right.
Thanks for permission. Now we know.
But all right. So Knights of Columbus, my job is basically to help the Knights of Columbus reach out to other organizations with the vision of the current head of the Knights of Columbus, a gentleman named Patrick Kelly, my boss, who has a vision for two things. Let's form men and let's form fathers. So you're a giant. We've got 2 million members. We're a men's organization. And the question is, what are the things men most need right now? And the answer is they need to be formed as men. And they need to be formed as fathers. And with a clear conviction that if we get that right, we get a whole bunch of other stuff right. Right? We get the culture right. We get family right. So I just think it's a great vision. I'm so grateful to be there. And I think it fulfills. Look, I know you guys from different environments, mainly mostly focus. And I'd say the four of us around this table have been working on this issue for a very long time. Right?
Yeah.
How do we get men right, especially in a culture right now that says there's such thing as toxic masculinity, whatever the heck that is. There's such thing as men overreaching. There's such thing as weak men. There's such thing as there's questions about what's fatherhood, motherhood, what's male, female. Right now, our culture is crying out for our Lord's clear teaching and based on the creation of the whole universe, what it means to be a man, and more importantly, what it means to be a father, or not more importantly, they're linked. Because God ultimately is our father. And if we don't get that right, if we don't get that the creator of the entire universe is father right, we're not going to get anything else right. So that's what I do for the Knights of Columbus. And we're trying to push that out. We're developing materials. We're forming new small groups. We're doing everything we can to get that message out.
Jay, I absolutely love this because a lot of our listeners would probably think you're talking about a different Knights of Columbus. And no, this is the Knights of Columbus.
Tootsie Rolls.
Exactly. The two things I would have said the Knights are, certainly not forming men and forming fathers, I would have said Tootsie Rolls and life insurance, right? Naturally, I think that's what a lot of guys think of. But how many men around the world are Knights right now? How many men are there? Do you know that number off the top of your head?
Yes, we have 2.1 million members across the globe.
It's crazy. 2.1
Mexico,
million
Canada,
members.
France. Yep. You know where we got them, Steve? Ukraine and Poland. So when the Ukraine war broke out, we were the first on the ground with aid because we have guys living and yes, dying in Ukraine right now in a war and we could get aid there right away.
I didn't know that. That's incredible. And what I love is now there's over 2 million men that the Knights are doing all those things you just said to help form them in men and in fatherhood. And that's right up the Man Catholic Podcast. That's what we're trying to do. So we absolutely share this mission and this vision, and we've dedicated our lives to this, as I know you have. And I think that's why we're all so excited to have this conversation with you today.
So I'm blessed to be a Knight and to have known
you. I'm sorry, what degree are you?
Three.
I'm a fourth degree. Jay, I am a fourth degree.
I'm a lowly first degree.
Thank you. I missed the sword and the hat thing by like a month. They changed the outfit, right?
Yeah, but you keep the
sword. There's still a sword,
man.
Though.
You keep the sword.
I never got it. I need to get it. Can I still get it?
Can you mail that to him?
Can you ship that to me?
We'll talk after this.
Let's talk after this. I need a sword. My son will think I am like total badass if I come home with a sword, Jay. Okay?
So
Can you make this happen? Yeah,
he needs that credibility with his son. Dr. Reyes, I've known you for over 20 years. I still will only call you Dr. Reyes. So Dr. Reyes has his PhD, and you would consider yourself a historian of thought. Is that the correct classification?
That's right. Intellectual historian. Yep. Okay. Absolutely.
Intellectual. Yep. You were the founding president of the Augustine Institute, mm-hmm. and I was grateful to be part of the graduating class. Also grateful to be part of the Knights of Columbus video that they did a few years ago called Into the Breach, and just recently saw the new version of that, Into the Breach, relating to family and marriage, I believe. And so when I saw that, I thought, I've been wanting to have you on. I think these guys have as well. Absolutely. Have you on since we started the podcast. So thankfully, God's providence, when I reached out, you were free at the time we were getting together. So super excited to have you on. But I'm also super excited about the Knights going after family. And we've talked a lot about in our 20 plus years of mentorship. I would consider you my mentor, believe it or not, because I'm such a mess still. But you have a lot of work to do still. Anyways, excited about the Knights going after family because the domestic church is where the buck stops. I mean, Christian institutions for years have been under attack. Christendom is no longer Christendom. But we're dealing with the last line of defense, really, the domestic church, the marriage and family, mm-hmm. which is getting slaughtered still. And so, I'm just excited to bring you on to figure out how we can hit this issue head on.
Here's a real important point, Thomas, and thank you for that. And it's been a joy to know you for all those years. And frankly, the rest of you guys, I've known you guys for a long time.
I've never heard anyone say that about Thomas or Jay.
First time.
It's recorded. That was super cool. That was really nice of you. Sorry to interrupt.
Here's the thing to know. It has been the typical assumption by thinkers for the past long time that as Western civilization secularized and lost God, that the family broke down. But here's a reality that Mary Eberstadt pointed out in a beautiful book called How the West Lost God. But other people have made this argument, and frankly, sociology supports this. When the family breaks down, people stop believing. So in other words, the family breakdown starts before the loss of belief. Now, I would say the argument is a little bit of chicken and egg. It can go both ways, depending on how you read the data. But here's one clear thing. If you do not know the love of a family, in particular the love of a father and a mother, it is clearly, sociologically and historically true, that it is way harder and almost impossible to believe in the love of God. Because everything we talk about in the Christian faith is family. Jesus came into a family. Jesus is in a son relationship to the father. Jesus had a mother and a foster father. We call each other brother and sister. We're adopted. If you don't have a good family relationship, none of these words have any meaning to you. Just put it frankly, how do you know the love of God, your father, if you don't know the love of a father? And I'm gonna tell a story about Brock. I was at the baptism of a number of Martins and confirmations, blessed be God. And I remember Curtis saying, hey, I tell all my children, who's your daddy? And they need to say God first. But what this means to me is it's hard to understand God as a father if you haven't had a father. And so we're talking about evangelization. We're talking about rebuilding Christendom. We're talking about somehow bringing people back into the faith. We're talking about somehow making the notion of the Bible plausible to a generation that's raised on a completely different religious view, the religion of the day, we can talk about that. But if we don't get the relationship stuff right, we're super handicapped and we're not going to help people understand there's the maker of the universe is also your father.
Man, Dr. Reyes, I love exactly where you're going with this because I do think it is at the heart of so much of what we see in the world today. All of the brokenness, a lot of the pain. We've got listeners kind of all over the world. I think we're in like 65 countries, guys from their 80s all the way down to high school students. So whether it's men who are not yet in their vocation and preparing to be either natural fathers or spiritual fathers, or maybe even the older guys who are listening, what are some of the systemic things that you are seeing, the big roadblocks, the big sins that men are having that are kind of in common across all these generations? And what are those key things that we should be focusing on?
You know, it'd be easy to just start with obvious sins like guys have issues with pornography or they drink too much or whatever. But I want to push this a little bit, Brock. And I also want to test this with you guys because you guys, we haven't talked about this. And this is the kind of thing I'd really like to bounce off you. The biggest issue is men have zero confidence in being men. And we can blame certain ideologies, certain versions of feminism. There are good versions. There are Catholic versions of feminism with dear friends of all of us in this room who are really pushing that. There's really bad ones. Okay. What we've lost is the ability for a man to believe that he has some specific role given by God. And that role includes leading That role includes serving. That role includes governing. That role includes, actually ends in, the complete sacrifice of life. That is death for the sake of others. And we've lost that broader conception. All right, so we've got serious sin issues we've got to deal with. And look, we live in the West. You don't have to have a lot of money to get into all kinds of stuff, right? I mean, guys are getting picked off left and right, right? And if you don't have brothers to help you, you're probably going to get picked off. But what we've lost is the vision. What does it mean to be a father? We don't even know the definition of that term. And until we recover that and add to it the confidence for every single man we know to say, hey, look, I know you're messed up. I'm messed up. But this is what you're supposed to be. The completion of male character is fatherhood. And until we get that basic piece right, we're going to miss it. And here's the other piece, and I'll stop here. I promise you guys will let me run. But unlike motherhood, which biology really pushes forward, like a woman becomes a mother, biology pushes it forward. Fatherhood is something we have to learn. And we have a culture that's not teaching it to us.
And participate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, learn and participate. We talked about this in a podcast a long time ago, that as dads, we don't even know we're in a game, right? A lot of times we say, just show up, just show up. We don't even know we're playing a sport. We don't even know. We don't even know the role of fatherhood. Here's what I find fascinating is you just gave us a whole lot of spiritual impacts of the lack of fatherhood. If you go to fatherhood.org, they have a whole list of the impact from a secular perspective. And I just want to read a few of them here. So first of all, 18.4 million children, one in four, are without a biological step or adoptive father at home. One in four children don't have a father figure in their life. So that's the reality. Now, here's the impact of not having that. Four times greater risk of poverty. Two times greater risk of infant mortality. They're more likely to go to prison. Seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. More likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Two times more likely to suffer obesity. And two times more likely to drop out of school. So what I find fascinating is this stretches far beyond this bubble of the Catholic worldview that we have, to where the U.S. government has recognized the lack of fatherhood in our world and is trying to also approach it. So this is a reality.
It's a very human thing
that humanity is dealing with, and not just the opinion of the four of us today on the podcast. This is a massive, massive issue. And I know you have some thoughts for how we can approach this, Jay. And so I want to kind of pivot to that. Now that we've laid the foundation for here's the problem. It's real. It's there. Whether you see it or not, whether you experience it or not, it's very, very, very real. Now what do we do about it? And as you said, that's one of the two main things that the Knights, and I know you personally, are committed to going after.
So again, it was what did you say? They don't have the confidence? And the second piece was what again?
They don't know what it actually means. Like
the vision.
If you don't know what you're aiming for, you're never going to get there, right? I mean, that's a cliche. It's that sort of a use of Aristotle. But if you don't know where you're aiming, you're going to miss the end, right? And no one has painted a picture for young men as to what fatherhood means. So even sort of a vision that's been captivating to a lot of men, and I don't mean to be controversial here, let me just put it out, just because of the raw numbers. So people will get really excited about the 12 rules for life of Jordan Peterson. And I'm not, no comment there about, but those 12 rules do not amount to what it means to be a father. A father is a particular character a man embraces. And here's the thing, all of our identities, we don't invent them. We do not invent our identities. We don't carve them out of some sort of set of circumstances. They are imparted to us by the one who made us. And the one who made us is our father. So all of this starts with a man going, who am I and what the heck am I supposed to do? And him knowing where to go to hear, oh my gosh, this is who I am. You guys are dads. Your kids are looking at you. You guys know this. Your kids are looking at you all the time. Like, who? They're not saying this. Who am I, dad? Who am I, dad? But that's what they're asking. And every time you tell them, hey, son, you are a leader. Hey, son, you're doing this well. Hey, daughter, you're a beautiful child of God. Hey, daughter, you are a dynamic leader and you can do things. Every time you speak to your children, You're imparting identity. And what we need is for men to say, Lord, I don't know who the heck I am. I don't buy the modern stuff about inventing myself. Tell me, Lord, speak to me. Who am I? And there's a part of us that thinks, well, that limits my freedom and I can't invent myself. But you didn't create yourself. And so identity is given. And I think, Thomas, I think if we get that right first, at least for our Christian men, let's start with our Christian men. And I'd love for the whole world to hear this, but let's start with our Christian men. If they get that right first, the road to maturity, with the help of good brothers, with good mentors, is set for them.
I'm still, Dr. Reyes, I'm still struck by the comment about motherhood being biologically driven forward, but fatherhood really needs to be learned. Where, speak to us again, just as young dads, or maybe some of our listeners preparing to be dads, where would you go to learn how to be a father? Maybe it's some resources to read. Obviously, you're mentioning we've got to get that ultimately from our Creator and our Father in deep divine intimacy. But what would be some resources that you would recommend for men to learn?
Here's the good what, news it, what it does mean to be a father. So there's a lot of resources out there, right? So there's the stuff we're producing at the Knights. And I just encourage all your listeners, go take a look. 15-minute videos are short. If you don't like them, you can turn them off, but they're good. You will like them, and there's a workbook. There's the stuff that Stenson is doing called Just Basic Fatherhood. It's a short little book. There's the stuff you guys are doing. I know you guys are writing some stuff and working on some things. I know Focus is doing some stuff. There are resources, and that's just a huge piece of this. It's not enough. And so here's the second piece I want to add to that, Brock, which is, and you know this well, you've got to find men in your life who can speak identity to you. And they are both older men. This is the book of Tobit. Put yourself at the feet of wise men. And this is your brothers. Because you guys know it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror. But when you got brothers around you who are going to say to you, look, brother, you got to step up. This is not the way a man should act. You're whining. You're self-centered. You're worried about your own interests first. You're totally addicted to comfort, right? I think comfort's one of the great it's probably surprise everybody. What's the great sin of the modern age? Lost what? Comfort. We're too dang comfortable. We have no idea what it is to self-discipline, govern ourselves. All these things require other human beings in our lives speaking into it. So friendship is going to be the number one source.
Brock, if you ever say those to me, I'm going to punch you first. And sorry, Jay. I started getting fired up thinking Brock is going to start saying this to me. I'm just going to punch him, but then I'll listen to him because he is a brother of mine. So, but my initial reaction is going to be to punch him in the throat.
Well, I want to add to one quick practical thing. I think, and as I listen to you speak, Dr. Reyes, I'm like, gosh, I love the fact that I do have brothers like Steve and Thomas and others in my life who can speak truth. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I don't really have other men who do speak identity to me, instead of maybe being stuck in that situation of wanting it from other people, find some men that you can go do that for would be a great place to start. Who are some men in your life that you can speak identity into? You can speak truth into their life. You can call them higher. And I think that if we naturally started to do that for each other more, many of the men who don't have that in their life would naturally start to pick it up. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Be the wise man, right? Like, and Brock, seriously, as I'm saying this and Jay, I know these things. I know these things. I've been in Focus for 14 years. I know these things, but it is still so hard. It is hard to ask another brother to love you enough to say these things, to look at me and to say, Steve, you're being a child, you know, get over it, or whatever it is, you're being ridiculous, fill in the blank. It's hard. We just don't know how to do that. The wise men, I think we kind of have that concept down as far as our culture goes. But brother to brother, I've got very good friends in my life, and we just don't do that as much as we should. I think we share our struggles, Jay, I think that's kind of common. Like, hey, I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
But I don't think as men, we know how to look a peer in the eye without the solicitation and to say, look, I love you, but you're being ridiculous right now. How do we do that? How do we break through that?
Acknowledging that this is an issue is top. First thing. Second thing is acknowledging that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. That's straight out of scripture. The way a father acts towards a child includes discipline. Once everyone in the room agrees to that, then you start saying to brothers, look, I have no idea if I'm off base here, but let me offer something, right? Let me just offer something. And that's where friendship matters. And this is when you know your friends, frankly. I mean, you, the three men that I'm talking to right now know my best friends. You guys, one of them's your dad, you know, so these are my best friends. And our relationship has been forged in love, support, calling each other out, and calling each other on to greater things. And the only way we got there was starting to step into that space. But it started with friendship. I trusted those men. To this day, I trust those men. And yesterday I was on the phone with a lot of those men. So you build the trust and you start saying to each other, okay, let's invite each other to speak into our lives in this way. And let's invite each other to be wrong about speaking into our lives in this way. Let's just invite it. And you take that step. And it's, look, guys, it's going to be messy. It's okay. If it's messy, it's okay. So you just step into it.
So Dr. Reyes, lots going in through my mind, my simple, feeble mind. But you talked about the Lord speaking vision into us, which I know we've talked about. We're first sons. And as we're sons, we learn how to be a father. But just the reality of what I say as a dad to my children, how powerful that is to them. And trying to get to that idea that I know a lot of guys talk about father wounds. And they didn't have a good father or that present father or whatever it is, or half their life he wasn't very good. And now they're dealing with how to have a relationship with him. Any thoughts? We don't have lots of time, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot. But do you have any thoughts that you would share with guys that are struggling with that in their life right now? A father wound of sorts.
Number one, hope. God is our father. And no matter what your human relationship with your father is, God's relationship to you as father can heal that. Not might heal that, but will heal that and desires to heal that more than anything. So there is a road forward, because the one who made you is your ultimate father. And as much as I love my children, I tell them, God is your father first, and he's the perfect father. So there's a way forward. Number one, hope. And number two, there are a lot of men who've been through this. None of them would say it was easy, but they've been through it. And the third thing I'd say is, on the other side of dealing with father wounds and figuring out that God is your father, is joy and confidence and a way forward. So I'm not going to give specifics because you said we're limited on time, but the point is, there's a way forward, men. There's not a man listening to this right now for whom there is not a way forward in God the Father, in good friendship with buddies, and mentors. And so I would just say to every one of them, despair is not an option. Discouragement is not an option. There's a way forward.
Amen.
As Thomas said, his mind is reeling. And I want to do a part two on this. If you're open to that, would love to have you back and to keep going through this. I think guys are going to love this episode and just eat this up. Some of the things that I'm walking away with personally: continue to reestablish my relationship with God the Father first. Because again, I know these things and I still have to do that. So it's not just those who don't have a good earthly father. It is still everyone needs to continue to pursue that relationship and reestablish him as father in our own life. That's one. Two, wise men and brothers. I love it. I know it. I need to do it. And so I'm asking Brock and Thomas to hold me accountable. Who are the wise men I'm going to go to? And either you guys are going to be my brothers or I'm going to find someone to do that. But I need you guys to hold me accountable to that. To be able to look me in the eye and say, I know you didn't ask for this advice, but I'm going to give it to you anyways because I love you. And the third thing, Jay, that you said is our kids are looking at us for identity. And I, again, it's like, yeah, I know, but what am I doing about that? And I think John Zimmer does this, who I know is one of your good friends as well, Jay. I think he did this with his kids, and I scribbled it down as we're sitting here, and I have it in front of me, that I want to start this as a nightly ritual where my son looks at me and says, Dad, who am I? And I say, my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And then he says, and what am I made for? To be in relationship with Jesus and to share him with the world so that he knows that identity. And so I'm taking, I think John had an idea like that, I remember from a long time ago, and I'm pulling in what you said today, and I'm saying, I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to start this, because I need to have this with my father, with my heavenly father, and if I'm going to be a good father, my son as well.
Amen.
Amen. Reyes, any quick practicals? You're a very practical, you're a teacher, you're a formator. Anything you want to close us on related to practical points?
Find your brothers. There's no such thing as fatherhood alone. There's no such thing as discipleship alone. There's no such thing as manhood alone. That's the greatest enemy of our moving forward. Find your brothers.
Amen.
It's killing us. It's killing us.
Isolation, it's real. And I think it's it's one of the cultural issues that we're dealing with as men. Yep.
So good. Jay, we're going to have you back on at some point. Thank you so much. This was incredible. I know for the three of us are like ready to run through a wall right now. So I hope the listeners, I know the listeners
hopefully
will,
not
will
that
love
wall.
This.
We're on the third floor.
Yeah, that's a window, not a wall there, Thomas. Right. Jay, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you to the Knights of Columbus for doing all that they're doing. Obviously fighting the fight there as well, not just handing out Tootsie Rolls.
Look up the Knights.
Look up the Knights. Into the breach. Yep, look up the Knights. Look up the resources. Go back, rewind. Is that, what do you do? Do you rewind podcasts? I don't think you rewind anymore. I'm from
the 80s. We'll put it in the link.
Yeah,
we'll
go find these links and find resources, find brothers, find wise men. Jay, you're a wise man. Thank you for your time. That's it for the Man Catholic Podcast. Catch you next time. God bless.